still rocking after all these years.
This is the story of my rock and roll butler.
This is it, the show that started it all. Often imitated, but never equal. From San Francisco, USA, online since 2004, it's the one and only Rock and Roll Geek Show with the original rock and roll geek, Michael Butler.
Welcome to the Rock and Roll Geek Show. My name's Michael Butler. Thanks a lot for joining me. I really appreciate it. Today is Wednesday, January 22nd, 2020, and it is 7:23 p.m. when I'm recording this episode. Was debating whether I was going to do a show this week or not because I just don't have much time at all, but I can't let this juicy rock and roll soap opera go without giving my 2 cents. As you know, there is drama in the Aerosmith camp, and there always has been drama in the Aerosmith camp. Before I talk about it, thank you for listening. Thank you for tuning in, friends. I appreciate you tuning in on this Wednesday night episode, and I don't know how much time I have to do it, but we're going to at least talk about the Aerosmith. But let's get warmed up and in the mood for some Aerosmith. How about Let the Music Do the Talking from Done With Mirrors, which is probably a Classic Albums Revisited candidate. Here's Let the Music Do the Talking, and then we'll talk about the drama in Aerosmith.
We'll be right back.
There you go. Done with Mirrors. That is a... I have not listened to that album in many years. I should do a track by track on this to see if it still holds up. Maybe we'll do that later if I have time or the motivation. Not sure, but that, of course, is Joe Perry's solo song from his first solo album, Joe Perry, from the first Joe Perry Project album. Brought it in when Aerosmith reef. You know all this, but I'm gonna tell you anyway in case you don't know. On Joe Perry's first solo album, Joe Perry Project, Let the Music Do the Talking, when he rejoined Aerosmith, they did the Back in the Saddle tour, which was just a tour, no recording. And then they recorded this album, Done with Mirrors. I think this was their first album on Geffen. And the record was everything on the record, including the cover, was backwards, Done with Mirrors. You had to hold it to a mirror to see to read the liner notes and to see the album cover. And it said Aerosmith in pink, the word done in, I don't know, orange or something like that, with green, and then mirrors in blue. And it was transparent letters, and behind those letters was, I should pull up the vinyl, but just doing this from memory. Behind those, and from looking at the something on iTunes. Anyway, behind those letters is Uri Geller. I think it's Uri Geller. Bending a spoon. Hence the title, Done with Mirrors. And they probably named it that because it's like, it was magic how they just got back together and it was Done with Mirrors. That song, so Joe Perry brought that into the album or to the band after he came back. I think Steven Tyler wanted to do it, but Steven Tyler completely changed the lyrics and the vocal melodies except for the chorus. I have to say I like Steven Tyler's part better than Ralph Moorman's part. Ralph Moorman did the first one, right? I think so. Yeah, Charlie Fearon did the second one. I like Steven Tyler's vocals and lyrics better than Ralph Moorman's vocals and lyrics. Also on that album, My Fist Your Face, which is my favorite Aerosmith tune. And Joe Perry, I heard, was doing that song on his last solo tour before he had the health problems. And I had tickets for it in San Francisco at the Great American Music Hall. And I heard he was doing My Fist Your Face. Anyway, so that brings me to the drama. That is Aerosmith. Let's bring it up here. So it all started with something that came out, was it yesterday? Yeah, it came out yesterday. Aerosmith drummer Joey Kramer files lawsuit against his bandmates, claims he isn't being allowed to return. Let me take a sip of this fine Tecate because my mouth is already getting a little parched. So, according to TMZ, which is the shit stir website and TV station of all, or TV show of all shit stirs, stirred the shit. According to TMZ, founding Aerosmith drummer Joey Kramer has filed a lawsuit against his bandmates, claiming that they are not allowing him to return to the group after a temporary disability. So he was playing on the Las Vegas residency. He says he suffered minor injuries in the spring of 2019, but was ready to return for the fall leg of the band's Las Vegas residency. So he hurt his leg or something like that. His drum tech, whose name is John Douglas, had to fill in for him. I could be wrong on this, but I thought I heard an interview with Jack Douglas saying that John Douglas is his son, that his son is the drum tech for Joey Kramer. If I'm wrong on that, send me an email, rockandrollgeek@gmail.com. But I think I heard an interview with Jack Douglas saying that. So I think John Douglas is Jack Douglas's son. If I'm mistaken, I apologize. But I thought for sure I heard that somewhere. Anyway, so John Douglas took Joey Kramer's place. So his drum tech took his place. He says he suffered minor injuries in the spring of 2019, but was ready to return for the fall leg of the band's Las Vegas residency shows. But instead of being welcomed back as expected, Joey Kramer claims he was subjected to a brand new band policy he did not approve of, where he would have to audition to prove he was, quote, able to play at an appropriate level in order to regain his drummer role. According to Joey Kramer, the band asked him to perform a series of solo rehearsals against a click track as his audition. I think he did a click track and he played along with video of a Las Vegas performance, I think. After which, they would listen to the recordings and decide whether he would be allowed to come back to the group. In the meantime, Joey Kramer, now this is what surprised me. In the meantime, Joey Kramer was required to cover the cost of a replacement drummer at a rate of $20,000 a week for performances and $10,000 a week for rehearsals. So John Douglas was making $20,000 a week performing with Aerosmith. That's pretty fucking good pay, man. $10,000 a week to rehearse. Good pay, man. That's good work if you can get it. According to Rolling Stone, Aerosmith's contract states that all members are entitled to their full share of live performances income, even if they're sidelined, which means even if they're hurt or had a drug overdose or something like that, for whatever reason, they're entitled to their full share of their live performance income, even if they're sidelined, although they have to pay for their replacements pay. So Joey Kramer was on the hook for $20,000 a week for paying John Douglas's $20,000 a week gig fee. Now, I don't know what Joey Kramer's share of that is. I'm guessing it's more than 20 grand a week. Man, Aerosmith's doing pretty good, huh, in the pay department? Let me take a note of this fine Tecate. Now, Joey Kramer says that I'm just going to call him Joey, okay? Joey says he finally and begrudgingly auditioned with the click track in early January, which is a couple weeks ago, but he was not allowed to rejoin because, as he was told, he didn't have enough energy in the recordings. So he went and filed a lawsuit. He wants the court to order him back in the band to avoid irreparable harm to him, which means that Joey must need the money. I remember listening to an interview with Joe Perry a while back. I think it was on Howard Stern or something, and said that he still has bills to pay and he needs the money. So these guys must have, like, well, I guess they got ex-wives to pay and mansions to make mortgage payments on and car payments. And anyway, so apparently Joey Kramer can't afford to not do these gigs anymore. But he's still getting paid partial payment for when they do the gig. So, I mean, he's getting paid for not even showing up. Last year was not the first time Aerosmith performed without Kramer. Back in August 2014, Aerosmith had to cancel a California concert because Joey Kramer was dealing with heart complications that required immediate surgery. I think his son took his place on that, didn't he? He later revealed he had an angioplasty, explaining that it was just strictly a hereditary thing. He said, "There's a family history and I was the victim, but no more." He missed about a week's worth of Aerosmith shows after that heart surgery. Oh, yeah, his son Jesse, pardon me, I'm burping up this fine Tecate. His son filled in on the drums. He said about that time, "It wasn't my time. It wasn't time for my ticket to be punched, and so I got it fixed, and I'm back 150%. It's as good as it possibly can be." So last fall, the drum tech, John Douglas... Yeah, I know I'm reading this. I'm trying to make it sound like I'm not. But anyway, last fall, Aerosmith drum tech John Douglas, who I think is Jack Douglas's son, talked about how he landed the gig as his temporary replacement. He says, "I'm a working drum tech, so I was teching for Aerosmith, who for the most part of 2019 had been doing the Las Vegas residency at the Park MGM, and Joey, the drummer from Aerosmith, who everybody knows, got injured. So I got the call to jump in and play drums at the 11th hour. So I played a few shows with Aerosmith, which was unexpected and exciting." asked if there was any reservation or reluctance on his part to take the job when he first approached about it. He said, actually, I'm not even sure if they even asked me. I think they told me. It's kind of a blur. Yeah, I thought I heard this too. So they just said, hey, man, Joey can't do the gig. You got to come in. So Joey hurts his foot, says, hey, man, hey, guys, I can't do the show tonight. We're going to have to cancel. Look at the way Aerosmith must think about that. So, Joey Kramer, you hurt your foot for some whatever reason. Now you're telling us we got to cancel these Las Vegas residencies? We can't do it, man. We're going to have to get somebody to go in there. All right, so he kind of fucked him over and left him hanging. And they told John Douglas, who I think is Jack Douglas' son, that he had to do the show. Obviously, the band doesn't do... Okay, he says, it was a show day, and I was in the building. Obviously, the band doesn't do sound checks typically. The crew does, which I did not know. But a lot of bands have their crews do the sound check, mostly just line checks and stuff. So we do a crew sound check, a crew jam. So we had just started that when I got the phone call from Steven Tyler saying that Joey couldn't play. Yeah, I don't remember actually being asked, and I would have said yes anyway, even if I was asked, but I might have been asked. I don't know. I've done this before with other bands a couple of times, but it had been a while, and always obviously unexpected. So it was just a matter of, okay, yeah, I guess I have to. As you probably know, Aerosmith is one of the artists supposed to perform at the Grammys on this Sunday at the Staples Center in Los Angeles. They're also being honored the day before as the 2020 Music Cares Person of the Year. That's at the Benefit Gala, which is two nights before the Grammys, which is Friday night. Okay. And one more note. Aerosmith recently extended its Deuces Are Wild residency in Los Angeles with 15 more dates in early 2020 due to, quote, extraordinary demand. So, to recap, Joey Kramer is suing the band. Wants a judge to say, Aerosmith, you got to let Joey Kramer back in the band. Well, he auditions. He doesn't do a good job, according to Aerosmith. And sounds like Aerosmith is a bunch of assholes, right? For not letting their brother, Joey Kramer, back in the band. Off the top of your head, I mean, at first glance, it seems like Aerosmith is just being pricks about it. Let me take another sip of this fine Tecate. Ah. The soap opera continues now. So Aerosmith responds to Joey Kramer's lawsuit. Here's what they have to say. Aerosmith members, you know who's in the band, Steven Tyler, Joe Perry, Tom Hamilton, Brad Whitford, have issued a statement in response to the lawsuit filed. This story came out yesterday as well, like hours after the story broke about Joey suing the band. They've issued a statement in response to the lawsuit. An original member, okay, He quit, he stopped as he got a shoulder injury. Did I say he had a foot injury? It was apparently a shoulder injury. Oh, and he also injured an ankle. So he injured his shoulder and his ankle. For the past 8 months, Aerosmith has been performing with the standard drummer, Kramer's drum tech, John Douglas. After TMZ broke this news earlier today, which was yesterday, that Joey Kramer had filed a lawsuit against his bandmates. I'm reading here. All right. So Sunday, the drummer issued a statement saying that being removed from his rightful place on the stage to celebrate Aerosmith's success is just plain wrong. Just plain wrong, damn it. They'd not let me have my rightful place in this to celebrate Aerosmith's success. I remember when they announced this show, the Las Vegas residency, they came on the Today Show, and Joey kind of was trying to hog the microphone. The woman, whoever was interviewing them, put the mic in front of the two faces of Aerosmith, the the quote, most important to Joe Perry and Steven Tyler. The other three guys are known as the less important three, by the way, which is a fact. That was in several, I think it was in all their books, I'm not mistaken. So anyway, the interviewer was talking to them, and Joey Kramer practically grabs the mic and tries to talk. And Steven Tyler, like, gave him a look and just handed him the mic and let him talk. Why do I say that? Well, I have met Joe Perry, I have met Steven Tyler, and I have met Joey Kramer. I've met all three of those guys. They're the only guys I've met in Aerosmith. When I met Joey Kramer, he was at South by Southwest, and he was a dick. At least he was to me. He just came. He said something. I tried to get him to do an ID, and he refused to do it, and he was just an asshole about it. I met Steven Tyler backstage at an Aerosmith show, and he just came up, and I was back there with American Heartbreak, my band, and did I tell that story along before? It's a funny story. I'll tell it. Well, it's not that funny, but I'll tell it again. We were, Billy Rowe knew the stage manager at the Shoreline Amphitheater in the Bay Area, and he got us into the show, and he let us get around backstage, and we kind of like snuck our way up to the side of the stage, and the monitor guy goes, "Oh, what band are you guys in?" And we said, "Oh, we're called American Heartbreak." And he goes, "Aren't you guys on the Sacramento aren't you guys on the bill with us tomorrow night in Sacramento?" And we said, yeah, we are." And he goes, "Oh, well, you guys can just come stand next to the monitors. You can watch the whole show from here." So we're standing next to the monitor guy watching the entire show from the stage. That was awesome. That was like in 2002, because I'm looking at this backstage pass I have that I found on the floor, which is a 3D backstage pass. It was called the Girls of Summer Tour. That was a fun night, man. So after that show, we kind of went back to the dressing rooms and hung out because there was a whole bunch of hangers-on back there. Joey Kramer walks by and just kind of looks at us and has a kind of a dick look on his face, but he nods to us. Looks like, "Oh, these guys are obviously a band," and he nods to us. Joe Perry is kind of like cocky as hell, has a cigar in his mouth. Steven Tyler walks right up to us, starts having a conversation with us for a good 5 to 10 minutes, just shooting the shit like he's our buddy. Total nice guy. We're trying to play it off cool, like, we're one of the guys. But, man, I tell you, when we left that night, we were fucking on cloud nine. We could not believe we just had a 10-minute conversation with Steven Tyler. So, my point is, Joey Kramer, asshole, from what I've known. Steven Tyler, cool dude. Remember, if you saw the Making of Pump documentary that was on MTV many years ago when they were promoting Pump, Joey Kramer said that Steven Tyler was the cause of his Tourette's tics, like his eye tics. I don't know if you've ever seen me or listened very closely to the Rock and Roll Geek Show, you hear me go sometimes, or go those are Tourette's tics. I'm a fellow Tourette's sufferer with Joey Kramer. Something to brag about? No, it's not. Take another sip of this fine Tecate. But in the documentary, Steven Tyler was kind of on Joey Kramer's case a lot during the making of that album. And in Joey Kramer's book, which is called Hit Hard, which I read, it was a decent book, I enjoyed it. They always had a strained relationship, the two of those guys. Steven Tyler was a drummer, always thought he was better than Joey Kramer, and Joey kind of resented Steven Tyler for that. So my point is, I think there's still something going on between Joey Kramer and Steven Tyler. Joe Perry and Steven Tyler claim to fight all the time and not like each other, but I know those guys love each other like brothers. So they might fight like brothers. But I have a feeling, now this is just my opinion and me looking from the outside, and, you know, I'm just a dumb podcaster. What do I know? But I think there's a rift between Steven Tyler and Joey Kramer. I think that they just kind of have not ever really gotten along. Is that the grammar, gotten along? All right, so back to Aerosmith's response to Joey Kramer's lawsuit. All right, they said in a statement to People Magazine, they talked to People Magazine about this, really? All right. They said, Joey Kramer is our brother. His well-being, now this is supposedly coming from all four of the guys. I guess they just put together a written statement. Joey Kramer is our brother. Could you imagine them sitting down and having a band meeting to have a written statement to come up with a response? I guess their management made them do it. Joey Kramer is our brother. His well-being is of paramount importance to us. However, he has not been emotionally and physically able to perform with the band by his own admission for the past 6 months. Emotionally able to perform. That's interesting that they say emotionally. We have missed him and have encouraged him to rejoin us to play many times, but apparently he has not felt ready to do so. So this whole time they're claiming that they've asked, so this last story you say, well, Aerosmith seems like real assholes for making him audition, but according to Aerosmith, they've asked him, hey, come on back and play. They said, but he's been saying, nah, I can't do it, man. I just can't do it. I'm not ready. The statement continues. Joey has now waited until the last moment to accept our invitation, which was like 2 days ago. Like, right, you know, they've been rehearsing for this thing. And you say, okay, well, they've been playing forever. They can play these songs in their sleep. But what if, because I heard this on Eddie Trunk today. I haven't been listening to Eddie Trunk too much. But his producer guy, or whoever's engineer is guy, Explosive Ed Robinson, said something that made a lot of sense, that they're probably doing a retrospective medley of tunes at this thing, which is not just you play just all the songs. So they have rehearsed this medley over and over with John Douglas, not with Joey Kramer. All right, so he's not ready. He can't just come back and perform with an 8-minute medley, or however many minutes medley, without rehearsing, okay? That's in defense of Aerosmith. All right, the statement continues, Joey has now waited until the last moment to accept our invitation when we unfortunately have no time for necessary rehearsals during Grammys week. We would be doing a disservice to him, to ourselves, and to our fans to have him play without adequate time to prepare and rehearse. Compounding this, he chose to file a lawsuit on the Friday night of the holiday weekend preceding the Grammys with total disregard for what is our limited window to prepare to perform these important events. Given his decisions, he is unfortunately unable to perform, but of course we've invited him to be with us for both the Grammys and our Music Cares honor. We're bonded together by much more than our time on stage. Imagine the awkwardness that would be. A source close to the band confirmed to People that Kramer had to test for Aerosmith's performances this week, but says it was a result of the drummer failing to attend multiple planned rehearsals. So they had rehearsals planned with Joey Kramer, and he did not show up. Yes, I'm creating drama out of this, but it's a fun soap opera. It really is. All right, get to, comfortable here. I like this stuff. It's fun for me. I like it. Aerosmith has always had drama, man. That's why Aerosmith is such a great fucking band. They're the greatest. They really are one of the fucking greatest bands of all time, and this is one of the reasons. Remember when they played, was it the Grammys last year they played? Or was it the MTV Awards? They played Toys in the Attic. Joe Perry went to the chorus when they were doing this, when it was the second verse. So they're doing the second verse and Joe Perry's going, toys, toys. That's why I love Aerosmith so much. They still make mistakes. They're still a garage band, and that's why they're so fucking great. Let me take another sip of this fine Tecate. Okay, let's see. Okay, that just goes on to say some other things. So, where am I here? Okay, so Joey Kramer yesterday again released another statement explaining his decision to sue the band for preventing him from returning to the stage. What does he say? His statement in full. Here we go. "Ever since I was 14 years old, I had a set of drumsticks in my hand and a passion to create music." I'm getting ready to burp up a fine Tecate, which is why I'm... excuse me. "Ever since I was 14 years old, I had a set of drumsticks in my hand and a passion to create music. Being prohibited from playing with a band that I've given 50 years of my life to support..." Pardon me, I'm burping, it was fine. "Why does he keep drinking Tecate as if he's going to keep burping it, you might say? Good question. "But ever since I was 14 years old, I've had a Tecate in my hand." Okay, enough of that. "Being prohibited from playing with a band that I've given over 50 years of my life to supporting is beyond devastating. This is not about money. I'm being deprived of the opportunity to be recognized along with my peers for our collective lifetime contributions to the music industry." Well, that's bullshit, because Aerosmith said they invite him to come to stand up on stage and be recognized along with his peers. "The fact that I would be asked to audition for my own job demonstrates that I can play at an appropriate level and play better than my temporary fill-in with a moving target of made-up standards is both insulting and upsetting. Other band members and their lawyers will likely attempt to disparage my playing and claim that I'm unable to play the drums right now. Nothing could be further from the truth. I did everything they asked, jumped through hoops, and made both a recording of playing along solo to a recent live recording of the band, one I had never heard before, and that process was videotaped. But I did it, and I did it well. In Aerosmith's 50-year history, no other band member has ever been subjected to this scrutiny, let alone being asked to audition for his own job." Yeah, I get that point. But he was offered... I mean, he was asked to come rehearse with them many times, according to Aerosmith, and he turned it down. "I hope our fans can understand that all I'm trying to do is get back to playing with the band that they love. And that's Aerosmith with all five original members. The greatest magic and success of Aerosmith happens when all the band's founding members are together in a house. To be removed from my rightful place on stage to celebrate our success, a success that acknowledges my own life's work, is just plain wrong." Well, there you go. I don't really know what to think, but here's another little story here. Let's see, where is it? Da 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 da. There's video of him. Being turned away by security guards. So, okay. Joey Kramer blocked from entering Aerosmith rehearsal by security guards. So there's video of this. I'm going to play the little of the video from the shit stirs of all shit stirs, TMZ. See if you can hear this. Let me turn it up full blast here. So Joey Kramer is walking up to the studios. Okay, here we go. TMZ thing. So Joey is walking. He's got a bag in his hand. It's got like bling on it. It's like a studded bag, which incidentally matches his jacket.
Mm-hmm. "Hey, sir. I'm sorry to inform you. We've been hired by the other four members of the band.
I'm sorry.
We're just asking that you not come into the property right now. We've been hired by the other four members of the band to ask that you don't come in today."
So, there's two security guys that said, "We have been hired by the other four members of the band to not let you come into the rehearsal studios today." It's SIR Rehearsals, I think. Studio 6, 7, and 8, in case you wanted to be a groupie. Joey has this big fucking soul patch on his lower lip. Note to aging rockers... don't wear a soul patch. It looks stupid. So Joey, so when they sell this, so they say this to Joey, and he's just looking off and is like floored. He cannot believe it. But dude, you show up today. You show up today to fucking rehearse. Well, it's only Wednesday. I mean, that would give them time to rehearse and play the tunes, but maybe this is the only day they're rehearsing and they just don't feel like dealing with it. I don't know. All right, so back up a little bit more here. I'm going to see what, you know. So he's looking off. He's just like totally stunned.
Okay.
And he sees the TMZ guy filming him.
Is that all right? I mean,
And the guy, the security guy's laughing. He goes, is that all right? It almost seems like this is staged. It really does. It almost seems like this video thing is staged.
Well, you're just doing your job.
Of course.
Oh, you're just doing your job.
Yes, sir.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, sir. Have a great day.
He's also got a lunch, a plastic bag, which must be his lunch in it, huh? Right. Well, there you go. The plot thickens, my friends. The plot fucking thickens. It's great. And also, today, in updated news, according to Shitster website and TV show TMZ, a judge has ruled against Joey Kramer rejoining Aerosmith for the upcoming Grammy Awards performances. The Massachusetts judge said the drummer didn't make a convincing enough case for playing with his bandmates when they take the stage for Sunday's award show. In his ruling, the judge said, given that Kramer has not played with the band in 6 months, and the dearth of available rehearsal time before the upcoming performances, he has not shown a realistic alternative course of action sufficient to protect the band's business interests. There you go. He's fucked. And I think he did make a statement about it. Oh, there we go. Here's a little something here, too. They've been inviting him to come back for the last 6 months since he's been away for whatever medical situation he's been dealing with, the source says. He said, yes, I'll come and rehearse, and kept not showing up. So on the eve of the Grammys and Music Hairs, he wanted to be back. All right. And Joey Kramer said I can't find it, but he said he has to accept it, and he's I'll accept the decision. And that's that. Well, there you have it, friends. I will be tuning in to the Grammys. This could be a big publicity stunt too for the Grammys, you think? Could be. Because it's going to make me want to tune in. Would I have wanted to tune in to see Aerosmith anyway? Yes. But now that I've heard this story, I kind of really want to tune. I'm going to set my DVR to record it. Because I'll probably be still at Crab Fest or whatever. So could it be, I just thought of it. Maybe it's just a bit fucking big publicity stunt. And I don't know. But I'll be watching. Will you be watching, friends? Is there anything about this on the Rock and Roll Geek Facebook group? I think there is. Let me see. Let's see here. Which I did, by the way, I did not create, but I do approve. People just have to answer two questions so that I know you're not a TMZ guy trying to get some dirt on me. All right. Let's just see here. Okay. Next up, Adam Brichet. Next up on the Aerosmith soap opera, bring back the Joe Perry Project with the once a rocker, always a rocker lineup. Yes, I agree with that. Bring back the cowboy. All right, enough of that. Well, there you go, friends. That is the Aerosmith soap opera. We got 40 minutes out of it. I hope you enjoyed this little bonus episode. We got to close out with another Aerosmith song, right? Should we do a... Let's do it. Why not do it? Will it hold up on what Done With Mirrors? I'm ready to do it now. Fuck. Classic albums revisited. Will it hold up? Let me find something to write on here. Let's see. Do I have a bill? An outstanding credit card bill that I can write on? Oh, yes, I do. Look at there. How about that? All right. All right. So, there are 9 songs on Done With Mirrors. I told you about the album cover. Let me see. Can I find the... I'm going to pause and see if I can find the vinyl. All right. I found the vinyl. It is on... It is indeed on... Let's see. What's the label? It's on Geffen Records. Even the Geffen logo is backwards. The only thing that's not backwards is the barcode. So the front, with Aerosmith Done With Mirrors, you can see... a magician bending a fork. It's not a spoon. He's bending a fork, and it's like suspended in midair. All right. And on the back, it is the members of Aerosmith. You have to turn it upside down, and it's backwards. Aerosmith Done With Mirrors. Joey Kramer at top. Brad Whitford under there. It's a picture of the band backwards. The song list is backwards. Every song, side one is underneath. Everything's written in backwards. All the credits are backwards. You take the thing out of the inner sleeve out. There's the actual picture of the guy bending a fork. And the liner notes are all backwards. So you got to hold the thing in front of a mirror to read the liner notes. Looking back, these guys claim it was a terrible marketing idea, but I think it's fucking absolutely brilliant. I loved it. When I was a kid, I loved it. But by the way, this record produced by Ted Templeman, if you can read backwards. The other side is a backwards picture of Aerosmith. Pull out the label. The Geffen Records logo is forwards now. You can see it frontwards. But the name of the album and the songs are all backwards on both sides. The only thing that's not backwards is Geffen Records. I guess they fought for that one. I think it's a great album cover. I really like it. It's very creative and ballsy of the band to do when they first came back, which is another reason why Aerosmith is... back in here. Ruin my vinyl. I've had this thing since it came out, by the way. Another reason why Aerosmith is one of the greatest rock bands in the fucking world, because they did a thing like that. So, first song, write down, Done With Mirrors. Mirrors. First song, Let the Music Do the Talking. We heard it at the beginning of the show. Big, big, big plus one. All right. Second song, My Fist, Your Face. I played this in a band I was in called Good... What was it? An early version of the Flexipleas. We played My Fist, Your Face. I think we were called Man on a Stick, I think we were called. Named after a Clive Barker drawing. My Fist, Your Face. My favorite Aerosmith song of all time. Wake up, baby, what you in for? Stop the day on your knees. What you pissing in the wind for? It must have snowed. great tune. Big, big, big plus one. Don't let it go a little farther. By the way, when they came back with this album, they were anything but clean. As you know from the great Cowboy Mack Bell's book, Once a Rocker, Always a Rocker. Because they reformed right in front of his nose, under his nose. Yeah, that's a great book. I can't recommend it enough. As is the book Walk This Way, The Oral History of Aerosmith. As is Joey Kramer's book Hit Hard. As is Steven Tyler's book Does the Noise in My Head Does the Noise in My Head Bother You? As is Joe Perry's book, which is just called Rocks. Let's get the solo and get out of this one. All right, big plus ones. We're two for two. Third song, Shame on You. Listen to that riff. It's a fucking nasty, badass riff. Come on. Plus one. All right, next song. Reason. Well, let's a little bit more of Shame on You. Okay. City as a ghost. Definitely not a single type song, but just a dirty fucking Aerosmith song. That's a great one. I love that one. All right. Next song, The Reason a Dog. The reason a dog has so many friends is because he wags his tail instead of his bone. Is that right? Yes, I think. They need to make an album like this one again. I think this is the worst selling Aerosmith album of all their albums except for Music from Another Dimension. The evil must fall. John Kolodner got a hold of him after this album and made him bring in Hitmakers. This was the last one I think they wrote themselves. Let me look at the credits. Difficult to look at the credits because they're backwards. Oh, like the reason a dog has so many friends. He'll wag his tail instead of his tongue. A wag his tail instead of his tongue. I'm going to look at the Wikipedia. Your older sister, she's not like you. She likes to grab my microphone. Now there ain't too much she won't. Yeah, every song, no outside songwriters on this album. This one's written by Tom Hamilton and Steven Tyler. So if you have, according to Wikipedia, if you have the original CD, which came in a long box, that's collectible. The original one with the reversed artwork. I like that one. I'm going to give that one a half. Next, so you flip the record over. It's beginning of side two. Sheila, which is written by Steven Tyler and Brad Whitford. Oh, this is a good riff. I remember this. I have not listened to this album in years. Yeah, that's a good lick there. Kudos to Brad Whitford. Yeah, according to Wikipedia, despite the band's views on this album, which they don't like it, the album earned positive reviews and is a cult favorite among fans. Yeah, the last album that the band ever wrote without the aid of outside songwriters. Like that one, I'm giving it a plus one. Next song, Gypsy Boots, written by Joe Perry, Steven Tyler. Gypsy Boots. Gypsy Boots. Gypsy Boots. Why isn't it playing? Gypsy Boots. Yeah, this one sounds like a Joe Perry project song. Come on, this band was so fucking great back then. They still are great. I want Joey Kramer back in the band. Catchy of a tune, but fuck, it's classic Aerosmith. Your mama's in the kitchen on the phone, TV, And now's the time to put to do another Aerosmith album when they're fighting like this. Steven Tyler sounds fucking great. I give it a plus one. Next song. Pardon me, I'm burning this fine Takate. All right, She's on Fire, which I have not heard in years, but I think I remember I love this one. She's on Fire. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Which is like Hangman Jury. This album only peaked at number 36 on the Billboard 285. I love this song. Plus one. Who am I kidding? This fucking album is great. It's great. It holds up. Last song, The Hop, written by the entire band. Wait, is there another song on it? There's a bonus track on it called Darkness, I think. All right, friends. The album stands up. Oh, come on. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. 8 songs. 7.5 out of 8. They just don't make them like this anymore, friends. They don't. All right, I hope you enjoyed this fast episode, bonus episode, whatever you want to call it. I think I'm going to call it the Aerosmith soap opera. I hope you enjoyed it, friends. Thank you for listening. And thank you for everybody for donating to the Rock and Roll Geek Show. Without your donations, this show would die horrible, putrid, stench-filled, like the possible career of Joey Kramer kind of death. Find this show at rockandrollgeek.com. Send me an email, rockandrollgeek@gmail.com. You can find me on the Facebook, R&R Geek. Go to the Rock and Roll Geek Facebook group, which I did not create, but I do approve. People just have to answer 2 questions. Those questions are, just so you know, who's the host of the Rock and Roll Geek Show, and what is your favorite album? Very simple questions. You can also find me on the Twitter, R&R Geek. Find me on the Instagram, Rock and Roll Geek, don't ask. Mostly fishing and hunting pictures, but sometimes I'll do some rock stuff. I will talk to you soon, friends. I'm going to try to get some crab this weekend. It's Crab Fest. Thank you for listening. I will talk to you soon. Yes, I'm part of the Blue Army. Are you?
It's a rock and roll geek train wreck.